The Lord reigns. He is robed in majesty. The Lord is robed. He is girded with strength. Yea, the world is established. It shall never be moved. Thy throne is established from of old. Thou art from everlasting. We stand this morning upon the threshold of a tumultuous time, you and I. Tumultuous, that is, for our own little seminary, Koinonia. A time which shall see the metamorphosis of Homo seminariensis from a dapper student of the joy of life, TV, bull shooting, and ball games, into an intense, almost desperate student of the bane of life, Old Testament, archaeology, Greek, and Hebrew. A time which is, unfortunately, a part, a chaotic and sleepless part, of the seminarian's life. A time which affords faculty members opportunity for the gleeful kind of a witch's Sabbath of which only they know. A time when our campus shall literally flow with the accumulated wisdom of 750 students who are crammed gullet full with an abundance of knowledge garnered diligently the night before. We are coming, in a word, to question-asking time. The time of grand finale or grand fiasco, the moment of truth or profuse guessing at truth, which our own Dr. Lovelace describes with sadistic joviality as the time of opportunity. I trust that everybody here will do quite well. It is only those who have cut this chapel who will do badly, at least in Old Testament. And so we may dismiss the dreadful subject of examinations and your lack of preparedness and proceed to the more general and less embarrassingly dangerous subject of question asking at any time. This because our day, our denomination, and our doing stands in serious need of some astute question asking and answering. One of the many signs of the spiritual cowardice and moral ineptness of our day is the general reluctance and even fear which people feel when it comes to asking questions. Sometimes one of the most troublesome, but always one of the most important character traits of a child is a child's incessant question asking, a perpetual inquiry which is prompted by a natural curiosity and the instinctive desire to know. What is this? How did it get so? Why is it that way? How do you know? Will I be like that when I grow up? And on and on and on, ad infinitum, dizzy cum bobulum. But in this way, the child learns and grows. Or in some instances, the child becomes a walking reflection of our own abysmal ignorances. Somewhere, however, along the way of the odyssey from childhood to adulthood, we lose this valuable habit of question asking. Probably the loss occurs when we make the transition from a childlike naivety to an adult's sophistication. For at that point, we seem inexplicably to come to be ashamed of our ignorances and to come to be embarrassed to admit by our questions that we don't know. And so we sit, stand, lie, walk, or run silently, and we never know. We leave question asking to the children, and this is one reason we are so frequently caught in ignorance by their questions. It seems always to have been to some extent this way, though never so much as it is now. Indeed, people today seem afraid to raise questions, not only because of their adult sophistication, but also because they stand in dread of the answers which might come, answers which might come to prick their consciences or wake them into action when they are rather too easily satisfied with the lazy, laissez-faire status quo. And oh, how much, how very much our world needs some honest and perceptive question askers. We live in a fluffy kind of a world, where hard and honest work is now considered archaic. A world in which life is push-buttoned. A world in which happiness is quick-frozen and prefabricated and thought is non-existent. We foolishly believe our security to rest upon that which, if pursued, will ultimately destroy us. Love has been distorted into a tawdry caricature of sex principle in its basest form, to be cut on and off with water faucet precision as wanted or unwanted. Morality and integrity fiber have become hallmarks for the ridiculously unacceptable eccentrics who are passant and uncouth throwbacks to a less enlightened age. Even our religion has come to have about as much substance as the meringue on a fluffy lemon pie. It is a coagulation of systematic committees on committees and programmatic success symbols, sparkling with badges and gadgets, figures and graphs, dazzling with a symbol clashing of much mouthing, magnanimous in its desire to have everybody else just like us, protesting nothing far too much, and serving as a hypocritical serape behind which we think to hide the spiritual nothingness and soul inactivity which are the boldest brush strokes across the canvas of what we really are. A few well-put questions could and would reveal these things. And we fear to ask them or have them asked because we haven't the courage to be found out, the honesty to want to be otherwise, the gizzard and the gumption to work out and find the answers for ourselves and act upon them. As we are presently operating, we not only do not encourage a man to think, we are scared to death that he will. For we know that 5 minutes solid thinking might well bring a good part of the whole structure down on our heads. A vivid symptom of this sickness is to be seen in the utter lack of solid reasoning behind many of the things we urge people to do, say, read, and support. With so many right reasons and the divine motivation at our disposal, why can we not seek to convince a man to do, say, read, or support upon their basis instead of because we say he ought? Unless that which we are urging upon him could not be justified by the right reasons and the divine motivation because of a worldly incompatibility. The preacher by vocation is supposed to be a question asker and a question answerer. As such, he must put and have put to himself the questions, welcoming these questions, gritting his teeth and wrestling with these questions. But the more common situation in our time is that of the preacher floating around in his self-secured little world, a minuscule dirigible inflated with ego and the same stale hot air he whooshes out at his people, sounding a defensive alarum before any questioning, arching his back with sacerdotal indignation and assuming a martyr's stance. The preacher may, indeed, be by vocation a question asker. He may by vocation be supposed to be a question asker and a question answerer. But how can he be if he refuses to have these questions raised or to ask them and to seek to answer them for his own life? Our calling, yours and mine, is in part that we should be prophetic gadflies. Far too many of us have been far too eager to give up our gadfly roles for the less demanding and less dangerous role of the blowfly. You may be asking, well, what are these dreadful and wonderful questions? I rather hope that you are not asking this, for that you should ask it this late in the year, when the questions have been thrown at you from every hand every day, suggests how very much you need the questions, and suggests just how wide is the moat and hard-packed are the castle walls of your hide-bound prejudices. Each of us here might well require a differently phrased set of questions, though basically the needs met and the ways changed would be much the same. Much the same, for the questions would be directed to our day. Questions like, what is the folly, the misdirection of our day, and how is this to be altered and set right? And the questions would be directed to our denomination. Questions like, which is to take precedence, integrity or program? Questions like, when are we to become ethical in our treatment of seminary professors? Questions like, what price bigness? And again, the questions would be directed to our doing. Questions like, what is the real motivation for my work? What is the real meaning of my accomplishment? And here's one for you, seniors. is my real reason for moving at graduation the Lord's call or Mammon's call. Again, have I with honesty considered the mission field? Now, this question asking will not be painless, nor will the question answering be easy. But we must remember our vocation. And remembering that vocation, we must get to the asking and the answering, always with the consoling assurance that our great sovereign God is quite the sufficient answer to any question, and that the answer and the answers must come. They will come, as always they must come, because God is God. Our Heavenly Father, we pray Thee, bless us with the gift of a courage adequate to the fearful demands of our divine calling, and make us ready to ask and answer the questions which will make a difference. In Jesus' name we pray.